Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players. The Lady Esther Screen Guild play tonight, The Perfect Specimen. The starring players...
This is Betty Grable.
This is Jack Carson.
And this is Mae Whitty.
Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild players in Warner Brothers' delightful comedy, The Perfect Specimen. It stars Jack Carson as Gerald Wicks, Betty Grable as Mona Carter, and Dame Mae Whitty as Grandma Wicks. The Lady Esther Screen Guild players in The Perfect Specimen. Once upon a time, not very long ago, there lived in a castle called the Wicks Estate, guarded not by dragons, but by man-eating dogs and no trespassing signs, an eccentric old lady known as Grandma Wicks. Every old castle should have a beautiful princess for a prisoner. But this castle was different and had a prince of a fellow named Gerald Wicks. Now, Gerald was a man in his 30s, but he had never seen anything of life outside his castle and his books. Unfortunately for him, his grandmother had decided before he was born that she should make Gerald into a Superman, and that by buying up all the best teachers, trainers, and tutors in the world, he would grow up to be the perfect specimen. Grandma Wicks even went so far as to choose Gerald's future wife, the young and fair Alicia, who was very tepid to Gerald and quite torrid to horses. Well, our play opens in the dining room of the Wicks castle, and Grandma and Alicia are waiting for Gerald to come down to breakfast.
That clock's wrong again. 15 seconds slow. Call the clockmaker, Alicia.
But Mrs. Wicks...
Then get another clock. And another thing, I heard a rooster crow this morning. Find out which bird is responsible.
I'll make a note of it.
And where is Gerald?
Did anyone think to unlock his cell?
Don't be impudent, young lady. And by the way, why do you come to the table in a riding habit?
Because I've been riding and there wasn't time to change.
I don't approve, Alicia. It's almost impossible for a man to propose to a girl wearing breeches.
But Gerald doesn't have to propose. You propose for him.
Well, what's wrong with that? I know what's best for both of you, don't I? Oh, by the way, make a note. Remind me to order the wedding invitations.
Good morning, Grandmother. Hello, Alicia.
Gerald, you're late for breakfast.
Not very late, Grandmother.
2 minutes late.
I was looking out the window and I forgot the time.
And what did you learn by looking out the window?
Well, that it's spring.
Well, of course it's spring. What of it?
Well, I guess that...
Don't mumble. What are you trying to say?
It's just a vague idea.
Oh, I know what you mean, Gerald. The sun's so bright and the air's so clean. I felt it, too, when I was riding back here with George.
George?
The new riding master.
Dismiss him at the end of the week. Now, Gerald, what's your schedule this morning?
After breakfast, business administration until 9 o'clock. Then, applied psychology. 10 o'clock, outdoor exercise. 10:30, motor mechanics. Boxing, 11:30. Lunch. Then this afternoon...
Oh, my...
Merciful heavens, what was that?
It sounded like a smash-up. I'll go see.
Gerald! Come back right here and finish your breakfast. Gerald, you hear me? I won't have you rushing about on an empty stomach.
That was quite a smash-up. You're sure you're not hurt?
No, I don't think so. But thanks anyway. I'm Mona Carter.
How do you do? I'm Gerald Beresford Wicks.
Oh, I'm pleased to... What? What was that name?
Gerald Beresford Wicks.
Oh, then you're the perfect specimen I've been reading about in the Sunday papers. Say, can you picture me running into you?
Picture? My grandmother does not permit photographers to take pictures of me, so I think you'd better go.
Oh, why the rush act? You're not very polite.
Yes, I am. I have excellent manners. I was tutored by Emily Post herself. But you see, I am on to your game.
Game?
They all try it.
Who all try what?
You are a newspaper photographer, are you not?
No.
Then you are a reporter.
No.
Oh, then I suppose you are the other.
What other?
A designing woman.
I am not. Besides, I don't know why anybody should have any designs on you.
That's an opinion formed far too quickly to be sound.
Well, it sounds all right to me.
I'd better check over your motor before you go.
What do you know about motors?
I know everything there is to know about them.
You know everything there is to know about everything.
Just about.
Just about? Why, you conceited.
Conceited? No, I do not think so. I have nothing to be conceited about. It is my grandmother who deserves the credit. It is she who is making a perfect specimen.
That's what you think. Tell me something. Have you ever been tight?
Of course not.
Have you ever seen a burlesque show?
Certainly not.
Did you ever kiss a girl?
Now, don't you start anything. I can't afford to be compromised.
You can't afford...
Now, step in the starter, and we'll test the engine.
It started.
I knew it would. Your car's all right. Just a bent fender and grill.
Well, thank you for the checkup, and excuse me for smashing the fence and...
Are you going back to Pennsylvania?
Yes, I... How did you know where I was from?
Your license plate.
Oh. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye. What did you say your name was again?
Mona Carter. Look, you're not so bad underneath. Don't you ever want to get out into the world? Don't you ever want to run away?
Where to?
Oh, just to ride the carousel, see the circus. Get out like an ordinary man, not as the heir to $40 million. Why, you've never followed an impulse, I bet. Never carried through a crazy notion. Try it someday. Just one impulse. You may like it.
Gerald!
Uh-oh. Is that the famous witch, Grandma?
Yes.
What is all this?
An accident, Grandmother.
I'm just going. I got to talking to your grandson, and I...
Not that I thought. You're a designing woman. She has designs on you, Gerald.
Oh, no, she hasn't.
She's good-looking, isn't she?
Well...
Answer your grandmother.
Yes, she is.
Then she's got designs.
Do you think so, Grandmother?
Well, you two just talk it over. As for me, I'm going. Goodbye.
Gerald, stop gaping after that girl. What would Alicia say?
Who?
Alicia, your fiancé. I think, Gerald, that owing to this seductive spring weather, I'll advance the date of the wedding.
I'll talk it over with Alicia.
You'll do nothing of the kind. You'll be dressed and ready to go to the church for the ceremony tomorrow morning.
Mrs. Wicks. Oh, Mrs. Wicks.
Yes, Grattan?
Madam, I regret to inform you that Mr. Gerald cannot be found.
What?
I went in just now to lay out his clothes for the wedding, and he was gone.
Well, don't stand there. Find him. Comb the place.
We have, madam, but we can't find him.
Merciful heavens. He's been kidnapped. Call the police. Telephone the G-men, the Attorney General, the Secretary of State.
How do you do?
Well, the perfect specimen.
May I come in?
Well, I broke through your fence, so I guess you can break in my apartment.
Thank you.
How did you find me?
Very simple. Those Pennsylvania license plates, number 9X765.
And how did you bust out of the Bastille?
Oh, they don't really keep me locked up, you know. I just never wanted to get out before.
And why did you want to get out now?
I kept thinking about you.
Oh, really?
Yes, I wanted to discuss with you the points you made about the errors in my training.
Oh, educational.
Of course.
I was afraid of that.
Would you like to go for a drive?
Where to?
Just a drive. I've never seen much of Pennsylvania. It might be very instructive.
I see. Something tells me I'm making a mistake, Jerry, my friend, but I'll go. Wait till I turn off the radio.
You called me Jerry. Would you mind continuing that? I've never been called that before.
Ladies and gentlemen, the perfect specimen has been kidnapped.
Well, listen.
Gerald Beresford Wicks, heir to the Wicks Utilities and the $30 million estate of his eccentric grandmother, was kidnapped early this morning. Police are beginning a nationwide hunt. And now, back to the music of Freddie Martin and his orchestra, who will...
Kidnapped? But a man can't kidnap himself.
Grandma Wicks has released the bloodhounds. What are you going to do?
I must think. I must apply the principles of logic.
Oh, you're afraid of your grandmother, aren't you? You're afraid she'll spank you for running away.
I'm not afraid. And I'm not going to let myself be hauled back like a runaway schoolboy.
Did you arrive at that decision by the principles of logic?
No, I guess that was an impulse. I see what you meant about impulses. I shall do just as I please. I like that. But I do wish I knew what Grandmother is saying about this.
It's getting awfully late. Don't you think we ought to go back, Gerald?
No, not yet, please. It's been a wonderful day.
You shouldn't have punched that waiter.
He shouldn't have referred to you as a tomato.
Tomato. And he said cute tomato. Where did you learn to fight like that?
My boxing instructor was...
Don't tell me. Let me guess. Joe Lewis?
How did you know?
Second sight.
Have you any idea of where we are?
None at all. I should say we were the first white people to penetrate this wilderness. Something tells me it's going to rain.
Something tells me we're out of gas.
Something tells me we're going to walk. And something tells me it's raining.
Sounds nice, doesn't it? Sort of cozy in here. Mona.
Yes, Jerry?
Well, you...
Yes, dear?
Mona, I'm going to kiss you.
I suspected it. Why, Jerry, who taught you to do that? Van Johnson?
No, Harry James. Oh, Mona. Mona, darling. Mona, dear, I...
Please, Gerald. There's lightning in the sky and there's a look in your eye. And both of them tell me that we'd better start walking.
The second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in just a moment. Now, a word from Lady Esther.
I think you know that I have never paid anyone a dollar, no, not even a penny, for a testimonial saying nice things about Lady Esther face cream. I don't have to do that, and I don't believe in it anyway. As a matter of fact, even though many, many lovely women have voluntarily written me to say they love what my face cream does for their skin, even so, I never ask you to try Lady Esther four-purpose face cream on the basis of what it has done for someone else. Why, I never ask you to try it on my say-so, but only and always on the basis of what you can see and feel it do for your skin. That's why I say, make the Lady Esther patch test. This little test shows you immediately exactly what my four-purpose face cream does for your skin. It tells you more than all the testimonials in the world. For here are results you can see and feel. Results on your very own skin. To make the patch test, you just rub Lady Esther face cream on a small area, like one cheek. Wipe it off. Then, look in your mirror and see the freshness, the clearness of that patch of skin as compared with the rest of your face. Touch it with your fingertips and feel the smoothness, the satin-like finish. Once you experience this, you won't be much impressed by what other creams claim to do for celebrities, because you can see and feel what Lady Esther face cream actually does for you. The patch test takes only 30 seconds. just 30 seconds to prove Lady Esther Face Cream is the most beautifying cream you have ever used.
Well, if you'll remember, at the end of Act One, Mona, played by Betty Grable, and her newly awakened perfect specimen, played by Jack Carson, are hiding out on Grandma Wicks, played by Dame Mae Whitty. They were caught in a rainstorm, out of gas, and it seems that while Lady Esther was speaking, they have been towed into the nearest town and are checking into the local hotel. Gerald has decided to pose as a salesman, an underwear salesman.
Good evening. I am a salesman. I am traveling in my underwear.
You drummers sure are great little kidders.
I have a demonstrator with me.
Double room?
No. Two rooms.
Register here. Got any baggage?
No.
You got to pay in advance, then. $2 each and a quarter extra if you use the radio. Holy smoke, you can't register that way.
What's wrong?
G.B. Berry and Companion. You haven't been on the road very long, have you?
What do you mean?
You better sign for your wife.
I see. What state are we in?
Pennsylvania.
Oh, I see. Very well, let me have the pen again. Mr. and Mrs. G.B. Berry.
That's better. Here's your keys, 41 and 42 at the top of the stairs. I hope you find them comfortable, Mrs. Berry. Good night.
Morning.
Hello.
Are you dressed?
Go away.
You better hurry. I'm tired of waiting.
10 minutes.
You're too long. I'm coming in.
Oh, wait. I haven't any clothes on.
Neither have I.
What?
My clothes are downstairs being pressed, but I am modestly and becomingly attired in a blanket.
Hey, that's a good idea. Wait 3 seconds until I drape myself in one. 1, 2, 3.
Here I come. Pocahontas.
Sitting Bull himself.
Here's your breakfast.
Oh, why didn't you say you were bringing breakfast? I'm famished. Coffee and toast and, oh, bacon and eggs. Beautiful.
You should wear blankets all the time. You know, you look enchanting, delightful, childlike and adorable.
Jerry, my jocko, you're definitely improving. But don't let me interrupt you. Go on.
You mean with the compliments? You like them, huh? Well, now let me see.
Never mind. Skip it. Would you like some radio music with your breakfast?
Yes. Why do you change the subject?
Because I like my flattery spontaneous.
Mona, I want to tell you. It's nothing much, I suppose, only... You see, I'm beginning to like you a lot. Do you suppose that we...
Coffee?
No, thank you. I guess I'm pretty stupid about expressing myself, but...
Oh, wonderful eggs. Delicious.
But you see, Mona, I want you to marry me and...
Good morning. There were new developments overnight on the Wicks kidnapping. It has been revealed that Gerald Beresford Wicks, the perfect specimen who disappeared yesterday, was to have married debutante Alicia Brackett this morning. The future Mrs. Wicks could not be reached for a statement.
Why, Jerry!
Shh. Police are looking for an attractive young woman who made a mysterious appearance on the Wicks estate the morning before the kidnapping. We have been asked to broadcast the following description of the kidnapper's decoy. 5'2", about 108 pounds, blue eyes, blonde hair, and assured manner.
Mona, that's you.
Mona the Mall, the gangster's decoy.
Oh, I'm sorry to have involved you in this, Mona.
Who is this Alicia?
Oh, that.
Yes, that.
I was going to tell you about that.
Oh, were you? You Lothario?
I knew you'd understand because you love me.
I what?
You love me.
I do not.
Oh, yes, you do. My training in applied psychology has made it very clear to me.
Oh, applied psychology. Who was your trainer in that? Bluebeard?
You see, if you weren't in love with me, you wouldn't be angry. You wouldn't be angry at the thought of my being engaged to another woman.
Why, you conceited twerp. Get out of here and take your applied psychology with you.
But I assure you...
I said get out of my room. I wouldn't marry you if you were the last man in the world.
Oh, yes, you would.
Well, all the... Get out or I'll bean you with a bacon and eggs.
Dr. Fettelbottom, the world's greatest authority on applied psychology. has taught me that a woman never keeps a threat made in anger.
Is that so? Well, you tell Dr. Fettlebottom you've just met the world's greatest authority on applied bacon and eggs.
Hey, Mona, don't throw that. Oh!
Now, shake your heads and you'll be an omelet. Goodbye, Mr. Wicks.
Well, this is going to be a terrible shock to Dr. Fettlebottom. Clerk, have you seen Mrs. Berry,
Mr. Berry.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. Have you seen her?
Yes, she went west in your car.
Oh, quick, get me a taxi.
Now, look, buddy, if I was you...
Get me a taxi.
Okay, it's your romance. But when you've been married as long as I have, you'll leave the key in your car every night, just hoping against hope this will happen.
There's the car driver. Pull up alongside and blow your horn.
Okay, mister.
Hey, Mona.
Go away.
I've got to talk to you.
Go talk to the future, Mrs. Wick.
Oh, Mona, be reasonable.
Hey, mister, I don't want to bust up nothing, but we're blocking the road. We're holding up traffic.
Mona, will you pull over and let me explain?
There's two trucks and six cars back of us, mister.
Mona, I have no intention of marrying Alicia. You've got to believe that.
Mister, please, we now got three trucks, 10 cars, and the cops back of us.
Mona, did you hear me? I said...
Hey, you! Pull over the side of the road and stop.
You see, mister, now I got a ticket.
You too, miss. Pull over and stop.
Well, look, officer, I was just driving along, minding my own business.
What's the idea of blocking the highway? You got a license?
Well, certainly I've got a license. Here.
The perfect specimen, right to the bitter end.
Gerald Beresford Wicks. Well, looks okay. Gerald Beresford... Holy jumping mackerel, why, you're...
Yeah, I am not. Now, don't jump to conclusions, officer.
You're the guy everybody's been looking for. And you, lady, you must be the kidnapper. Come on, I'm taking you both to his grandmother and collecting the $5,000 reward.
For the 50th time, why did you kidnap my grandson?
For the 50th time, Mrs. Wicks, I didn't kidnap Gerald. And where is he? Why isn't he here for this third degree?
He'll be here in a few minutes. He's out explaining all this to his fiancée. Now, look me in the eye and tell me the truth. Didn't you kidnap him so he'd be compromised?
Don't you talk to me like that. I wouldn't marry your grandson if you paid me to.
Oh, you wouldn't. And why not, miss?
Because you're his grandmother.
Gerald.
Hello. Did I hear her say she wouldn't marry me?
Yes, and I meant it.
Quiet, please. I'm going to do the talking.
After I have left.
You are staying. For good.
I am not. Ouch!
Now, grandmother, the first thing you can get through your head is that I am not engaged anymore.
Well, what about Alicia?
She just eloped with the riding man.
Well, that... She what?
So that's settled. Now, listen, Mona.
Let me go, Gerald Wicks.
Sherry to you.
I wouldn't marry you if you were the last man in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose he isn't good enough for you.
You suppose right.
You have the nerve, the colossal brass to stand there and refuse to marry my grandson because he isn't good enough? I never heard of such impudence.
What are you going to do about it?
You're marrying Gerald, and that's that. So let's hear no more about it.
Not if she doesn't want to. You're not going to make her.
Oh, I'm not. Why not, pray?
Because I am choosing my wife this time, not you.
You'll marry her and like it, if she'll have you. And if you ask me, she's too good for you. She has a will of her own, that girl. She's no milk and water, shilly-shally, flip-flop, whether they like you. She's got gumption.
Well, I never...
Yes, you have. Don't you dare to deny it.
Quiet down, both of you. There's nothing to argue about anyway, because I am already married.
You're what?
Why, Jerry.
Yes, I'm married. So you can run away as far as you like.
All right, I will. But, Jerry, when? Where? Whom did you marry?
When? The other night. Where? At the Waldorf Hotel in Hooperville, Pennsylvania. Whom? I married you.
You did not.
Oh, yes, I did. You show a regrettable ignorance of the laws of your own state of Pennsylvania.
He's cracked.
I am not even chipped. Mona, do you remember how I signed the register at the Waldorf Hotel?
How?
Mr. and Mrs. G.B. Berry.
What of it?
There's an old Pennsylvania statute which says, and I quote, "If any man or woman jointly publish themselves to be man and wife, and if one or both do attest this status by written record under whatever name," that makes Jerry Berry all right, "this shall constitute a legal article of wedlock." Now, that's the law. So there you are, Mona Carter. Or, I mean, Mona Wicks. Try and get out of that.
I'll get a divorce.
Nonsense. Well, Gerald, what are you standing there for? Kiss the bride. Go on. Go on.
Okay.
I won't.
Call that a kiss? Why, in my young days, if a girl got her breath back in less than 3 minutes, she thought the gentleman had insulted her.
I'll try again, Grandmother. Oh! What was that for?
For taking orders again from her. And that's for applied psychology. Goodbye.
Hey, wait, Mona. Excuse me, Grandma.
Run, Gerald. Faster. Faster. Remember your track training. I paid thousands to teach you how to run. Faster! Faster! Ah, well, he caught her. Now, I hope he knows what to do. Yes? Not bad. In fact, very good. Why, he's marvelous. Now, where do you suppose he learned that? Guess she's a lucky girl. Guess he's a lucky boy. Guess I did a good job. Guess I'll go upstairs and have a little snort.
Thank you. Thank you, Dame Mae Whitty, Jack Carson, and Betty Grable for a most delightful half hour. And on behalf of the Motion Picture Relief Fund, thank you all again for stepping in at a moment's notice and pinch-hitting for Van Johnson, whose illness prevented him from appearing tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Bradley. We were happy to do it, knowing the wonderful work being done by the fund and its country house. And I'd like to add that Van is much better, and he and Lorraine Day and Guy Kibbe will be here to present The Devil and Miss Jones in just a few weeks. And now, before we tell you about next week's show, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Grable. Ladies, you may think you know what shade of face powder is best for you. But are you sure? Better be very sure. Because the wrong shade can do unkind things to your face and features. Yes, it can even make you look years older than you are. Now, that's a risk you avoid in choosing Lady Esther Bridal Pink. You see, Bridal Pink is an entirely new kind of powder shade. It's blended a special patented way so that it flatters skin of almost every coloring. No matter whether your hair is blonde, brown, auburn, or black, you can choose Lady Esther Bridal Pink with confidence. This new and fascinating powder shade has been tested on thousands of lovely faces of every type. Women write me that Bridal Pink wakens even a drab, sallow skin to an instant look of life and warmth. They say it softens the lines of the face and even makes their features look daintier. The texture of Lady Esther face powder is so exceptionally fine that tiny lines and blemishes are covered up and hidden. It clings so much longer than other face powders, too. For a really glamorous effect, apply Lady Esther face cream before powdering. Wipe it off. Then apply Lady Esther Bridal Pink and see something lovely. Try it.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present The Cowboy and the Lady. It will star Olivia de Havilland, Patsy Moran, and Gregory Peck. Be sure to listen, will you? The Perfect Specimen was presented through the courtesy of Warner Brothers, producers of Devotion. Betty Grable appears through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox and will soon be seen in their Technicolor production, The Shocking Miss Pilgrim. Jack Carson appeared through the courtesy of Campbell Soup and will soon be seen in the Warner Brothers production One More Tomorrow. Dame Mae Whitty can now be seen in the Warner Brothers production Devotion. Next week, part of the country goes on daylight saving time. If your area remains on standard time, tune in the Lady Esther Screen Guild players 1 hour earlier. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.